He says, you're going to do this because you are of God. And you have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Boy, you better highlight that. You better underline that. This is my word. He says, how I know God going to deliver me? How do I know that I can rejoice when I'm going through fiery trials? Because I am of God. You know what that means? That means that you have an inheritance, that you are of God. You're from this royal family. And what makes us know that we coming out of this is because we know somebody is living on the inside of us. Somebody say, I am an overcomer. Say it again, I am an overcomer. See, we have to know something about Jesus, and we have to know something about ourselves. See, because he says, you are of God. He's bought you with a price. He's paid for you. He's deposited the spirit of his son on the inside of you. You are of God. He says, and when you know that Jesus is not the man up there, but he's the man in here. He says, now everything that he was when he was on the earth, he still is when he's living on the inside of me. Oh, God. So that means if Jesus overcame, and we know he did, then I know he can still overcome by the power that's working on the inside of me. That's why nothing that comes against me in life shall overtake me, because the Bible says that I am an overcomer. See, this is the type of message you got to start talking to yourself. That you got to start saying, I am an overcomer. This will not wipe me out. Why? Because greater is he. Why I'm not going to fail? Because greater is he. Why they not going to come and get it? Because greater is he. Why I'm not going to lose my mind? Because greater is he. Won't you say it right now? Greater is he. Greater is he. Greater is he. Because in life, watch this. Hear me this, Christians. He's saying there's going to be some things that come against you. You won't be immune to that. There's going to be some stuff that comes against you. He says, watch this, but you need to know, watch this, that in life, I used to give this analogy all the time, and God gave me deeper revelation about this morning. I used to say that life is a marathon, Deacon, and not a sprint. Because life is not just one little dash. But life is a marathon, which means a marathon takes some endurance. A marathon takes some patience, some stamina, some strength. But the Lord told me this morning, he says, no, life is not just a marathon, it's a decathlon. I said, whoa, that's interesting, because if any of you know anything about the sport of track and field, a decathlon is not just a long run, but you have many obstacles that you have to overcome throughout the course of a decathlon. In a decathlon, sometimes you got to throw the javelin. In the decathlon, you got to throw the shot put. In the decathlon, oh yes, you got to run the hurdles. And isn't life just like that? That sometimes you running hurdles. And other times you trying to get stuff up off of you. And God is saying, all this stuff is going to come against you, but you have to know that you are an overcomer. Amen. That you are an overcomer. Somebody say, I'm an overcomer. Watch this. Put this in the Amplified, if you will, Dante, if you can. 1 John chapter number 4. Look what he says. He says, little children, you are of God. You belong to him, and you have, I love how he says this. He says, you're not fighting for the victory. He says, you have already defeated and overcome them. Everything that the devil is sinning against you, the devil is already defeated. And you got to talk to him like he's an already defeated foe. He's already defeated. You are already victorious over what's coming against you. Why? Because he who lives in you, he's greater, he's mightier than what the devil is sending against you. Amen. Somebody say it, I am an overcomer. I am an overcomer. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And you can overcome, because everyone today listening to this message, you have something that's coming against you. Amen. Oh, yes, you do. Yeah, you can't fool me. You have something right now, presently, an issue in your life that you have to overcome. Mm-hmm. Tonight, I want you to speak to it and tell him,
I shall overcome.
Tell him,
I will overcome.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, your issue is not my issue. But every person in this room tonight has an it that we are overcoming. And this is what the Lord told me to teach on tonight. He said, tonight, this is going to hit everybody right where they are. He says, teach on overcoming the spirit of discouragement. Watch how I say this. The spirit of discouragement. Because I already told you that the devil, he's already defeated. Somebody say he's already defeated.
He's already defeated.
He is already defeated. But him being already defeated doesn't mean he ain't going to stop us from getting to where God wants us to get to. And so since he know he can't win, he'll try to get you to give up.
Amen.
He'll try to get you to throw in the towel on a victory that's already yours. That all you have to do is just finish the race. All you got to do is just keep living day by day, trusting in God, and you are going to win. But the devil will send this spirit of discouragement to rest upon your life to make you give up.
Amen.
Make you throw in the towel. Is there anybody in here today? I mean, it's just us. I mean, we ain't got to be ashamed. It's just us. Anybody in here today that had to battle a spirit of discouragement once or twice in your life? Let me see. 3, 4, 5, 10, 12. How many of you said, I had to deal with it this week, Pastor? Let me help you, because let me give you a definition. Because discouragement means it's when you lose the strength. You lose the courage and the confidence to fight anymore. It's when you say, man, I can't even fight this no more. It's when you say, man, I'm tired. You lose the courage, the strength, the confidence to fight. You lose your motivation to pursue or to accomplish a particular goal. You know, and some of y'all know what it's like to just be tired. You know, just be like, whatever. You ever got that? Whatever. Let me tell you how you can identify somebody that's discouraged. This is what they say. They say, it is what it is.
Amen.
That's when you know they done gave up. That's when you know this spirit got them in a chokehold, because they're saying, you know what, man, please. And we can get discouraged in our walk. We can get discouraged in our careers where we say, I'm tired of fighting these people at the job who were not even happy that I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm tired of fighting in this marriage to make it work. I'm just tired.
Yes.
Tired. It's a spirit of discouragement. It comes to rest upon your life to get you to throw in the towel, to get you to say, I'm tired of trying to live holy. I'm tired of it. I don't even want to fight it no more. Flesh, you win. Don't act like you ain't never said that before. See, it's a spirit of discouragement that rests upon your life, that stops your pursuit. Stops your pursuit in life. Because you're just discouraged. It seems like as soon as I get one step ahead, I get not two steps back. Soon as I get this taken care of, now I got a tire that blew out. Now I got alternator that's gone. Now they talking about the air conditioner acting funny. I'm just tired, Lord.
Amen.
The Lord says you better watch out for this spirit of discouragement, and you better know that you can overcome it.
Amen.
You can overcome it, because the devil will defeat you with discouragement. Let me help you out. This is a quote I ran across. It says, every great work, every great accomplishment has been brought into manifestation through holding on to your vision, and often just before the vision comes to pass, apparent failure and discouragement presents itself. That just before you get there, discouragement pops its ugly head. Just before you get to that place that you've been striving for, discouragement comes up and try to get you to throw in the towel. And the Lord told me to tell somebody, you should have quit a long time ago. This is not quitting time. See, because the devil will defeat you with a spirit of discouragement. And tonight, the Lord says, you're going to cast that spirit off of you, and you're going to finish 2009 strong. He says you're going to blow through the tape.
Amen. Amen.
You're going to blow through the tape. You're going to blow through this tape. Because I understand and I recognize what the devil is trying to do. Somebody just shake yourself. Shake it off. Come on. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Get your focus back. Get your focus back. Go with me to Nehemiah chapter number 4. I want to show you this. You're in the New Testament. Now, you got to see this. Hurry up because my time is going. Don't try to act like you're a Bible scholar and you know where Nehemiah is. Go right to the table of contents and find Nehemiah. It's right after the book of Ezra. I believe it's 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. All right? All right? You got it?
Amen.
Some of y'all just flipping, hoping you see it. Come on now. I don't have that kind of time tonight. Just go to the table of contents. I know your neighbor trying to look real smooth, huh? No, they old school. They got them tabs on the edge of their mouth. Nehemiah chapter number 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. When I was in seminary, our teacher made us tear all them tabs out the Bible. She said, that's cheating. A preacher who can't find the books don't need to be preaching. Amen. Nehemiah chapter number 4. Watch this. Nehemiah chapter number 4. And I think this is so important as we look at Nehemiah. We're going to draw a revelation tonight because Nehemiah was commissioned by God to go back to Jerusalem and build the walls around the city. That's who Nehemiah was. He was the wall builder. Now let me make this relevant and pertinent to your particular life because we don't understand the significance and the purpose of having walls around the city. But in that time, when there was so much war and when there was so much devastation going on, a wall meant security. A wall meant safety. A wall meant, watch this, that this city had order and structure to it. And so whenever you are trying to rebuild the walls of your life and put the pieces of your life that has been burned or has been brought down back together, discouragement is always going to set in. Because the devil is not going to allow you just to rebuild your life and just walk on into the kingdom life that God wants you to live. He's going to fight you tooth and nail, and you know, you have to know that you're an overcomer and you can defeat him. You got Nehemiah chapter number 4. I hope you found it by now. Do you have it? Say, I got it.
I got it.
Amen. If you don't have it, just look at the screen and find it tonight when you get home. I got to read a very lengthy verse, but let's read this, and I believe the Holy Ghost is going to speak to us. Look what he says in verse number 1. Nehemiah 4 and verse number 1. He says, but it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. Are you reading? He says, and he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? Remember, the walls, the stones represent the pieces of your life that has fallen down, and now he's trying to rebuild them, but your boy is talking about them. Look what he says in verse number 3. Now, Tobiah, the Ammonite, was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes upon it, he will break down their stone wall. You ain't going to do nothing. Look what Nehemiah said. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sins be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. They trying to discourage us, God. So we built the wall, Nehemiah said, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Mm-hmm. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonite, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored, and the gaps were beginning to be closed. Golly, that just resonated in my spirit. That God is saying some gaps in your life are beginning to close. You just got to receive that one. I ain't got time to teach it, but the gaps are beginning to close.
Yes.
When you got gaps, that's where the devil can enter in at. But now you're growing in the word, and so the gaps are beginning to close. Jesus, thank you for closing my gaps. Whew. All right, I'm sorry. He says, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion, just like the devil.
Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we've set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish or trash that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come upon in the midst of them and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came, they told us 10 times from whatever place you turn, there they will be upon us. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall. At the openings, I set people according to their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. This is what I want you to see. This is finally. And fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. And fight for your houses. Amen. Watch this. Watch this. Nehemiah said, watch this. I got to rebuild this wall. I got to get this wall built. I got to get my life back together. And here it is now. He's working on something that God has ordained him to work on. And now he has some discouragement that comes up. Watch this. And the same thing that Nehemiah had to overcome to defeat discouragement, you're going to have to overcome as well. Can we get into this tonight? Look, the first thing that you're going to have to overcome if you're going to defeat discouragement is you're going to have to overcome. You're going to have to get delivered from people. Did you get that? I don't think you got that. You have to get delivered from people, because Nehemiah was doing a good work, but here it is, people always have something to say about whatever it is that you're doing in your life. Look at this, Tobias, and some of us, we got some Sanballats and some Tobias in our lives. You got to be very careful at who is putting certain things in the atmosphere around you. Because I just told you, the discouragement is a spirit. And you got to make sure that nobody is in your atmosphere that's spewing discouragement. Because discouragement, baby, will fall on you, and discouragement will have you all out of God's will because you was in the wrong atmosphere. You got to get delivered from what people is saying. That's what happened. Look what he says. The Bible says, watch this. He says, when they started doing this, this brother Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the walls, and he got furious. That's just like the devil. Because when you start making progress, the devil will always get mad. And many of us, the problem we have is we more worried about what people are going to say than what God is going to say. We have more faith in what people are going to say about us than what God has already said about us. Baby, people going to talk about you anyway. So you might as well just rebuild your life, rebuild your wall, and let people say whatever they are going to say. You got to get delivered from their opinions. What are they going to say about me if I wear this? What are they going to say about me if I drive up in this? What are they going to say about me if this happens or if that happens? Who cares what they're going to say? You got to get delivered from what people are going to say. Because your greatest source of discouragement in life is going to come from what people say. But sticks and stones will hurt my bones, but words will never do. Baby, that's a lie. Don't you say that to nobody else. Words will have you walking around that house in that old dirty house coat on the back of them shoes talking about, I don't even want to go to work today. I don't want to do nothing, because the spirit of discouragement that got up on you, you got to be careful of what environment you're in. And soon as you hear the discouragement, you got to dismiss yourself. I'll talk to you later, baby. Bye. There's always going to be somebody that their ministry in life is criticism. They're in the criticism ministry, that everything that happens, they are the ones that want to say something about, you should be helping me to build a wall, not trying to discourage me from building a wall, because when I get my life together, I perhaps can help you get your life together. But you got to be careful about what people are saying about you. Because every person who has accomplished anything in life, they've done it despite the support of people and not because of the support of people. That there was this quote that I ran across by this fellow by the name of Thomas Carlyle. He was a British critic. He said, "The spirit of ridicule is the devil's language." That's how the devil talks. And some people who can stand bravely when they are being shot at will collapse when people start laughing at them. That you so concerned about what people think that you'd rather take a bullet than have somebody laugh at you. My mama used to tell me all the time when I didn't want to go to school with certain kind of tennis shoes on. She used to say, "Baby, they talked about Jesus. So you know they're going to talk about you. Get yourself out of here and get on that bus. Don't be telling me about what they're going to talk about." Boy, I got delivered from people a long time ago. It's always like my mom was putting me in a position where, man, shucks, I know they're going to rip me when I get on the bus with this. That's why I had to always have something to come back and to be quick on my toes when we was on the bus, because my mama just put me in a bad position. I'm the only one with a uniform on the bus. But the Lord was saying, "Son, I had to get you delivered from people." Now, I don't care what y'all say about what I drive or what I wear, because why? Because long as God is pleased,
amen,
as long as he has a smile on his face, man, I can care less what you think. You got to get delivered. What they going to say? What they going to say? No, they always going to have something to say.
Amen.
Got to get delivered. Now, hear me what I'm saying now. I'm not saying that you should have an unteachable spirit. I'm not saying that nobody can give you counsel or can advise you, because sometimes we do crazy stuff. But you have to consider the source of your criticism. You got to understand if the person that's offering me the criticism, do they really love me? Are they really out for my good and my personal well-being? Or are they selfish in their criticism towards me? You got to get delivered from people. Not only do you have to get delivered from people, somebody say, "I'm delivered."
I'm delivered.
Say it, "I'm delivered in Jesus' name."
I'm delivered in Jesus' name.
Oh, let me help you out too, because you think I'm talking about people you went to high school with. No, I'm talking about people with your own last name.
Come on now. Amen.
Because the Bible says, "A man's enemies shall be of his own household." Sometimes it's some people that's in your house that don't see the vision, that don't see what you're trying to do. God says you got to overcome that discouragement. You got to overcome it by first, I'm delivered from what you think about me. Because righteous living is promised persecution. That if you try to do it the right way, you are destined to be criticized. Hallelujah. But not only that, look, watch this. Keep reading, it gets better. Look at verse number 6. He says he overcame that. He says, "So we built the wall. And the entire wall was joined together." Are you reading your Bibles? "Up to half its height. For the people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless," watch this, "we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night." Not only do you have to get delivered from people, but number two, you have to stay prayerful when you're making progress. Because whenever you're making progress, the devil will come to attack you with discouragement. Hear me now, beloved. That if the devil cannot stop you from starting, he'll try to discourage you from finishing. You didn't get that. If he can't stop you from pursuing it, he'll try to discourage you from finishing it. He'll try to get in the midst of your progress and mess with your emotions. Because that's what happened here. Because the Bible says,